Open your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And we're going to go to chapter 31, but I'll tell you a little bit of what happened in chapter 30 to kind of bring you up to 31 here. In chapter 30, Hezekiah is trying to restore temple worship once again. The kings before him have they've followed after false gods. They've put up false altars and they've put up graven images and all those kinds of things. And he's trying to get things restored back to Jehovah God. And so he institutes the Passover. And he's telling them, he said, listen, I want you to come no matter what. Now, you've got to understand there were certain rituals that they had to go through to sanctify themselves and when they came and all that. But the people had been so out of context and so out of touch with God that it allowed themselves to get in a pretty bad shape. And so he's telling the priests, you need to sanctify yourselves. He's telling them all what to do. And he said, come, make sure you come. Whatever you do, come. Now, some folks just kind of laughed about it because they were so backslidden that they didn't care where they came or not. But it said a lot of them and most of them did. So let's pick up in verse 31 here. I mean, chapter 31. And we'll just read like the first couple verses here. It says, and now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin in Ephraim, also in Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession unto their own cities. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests, the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So Hezekiah here now has reinstituted the Passover. He's now got the people to realize they've been worshiping false gods. And so they tear down the false gods, they clean the place up and get it restored back to where now they're worshiping God. Now, I wanted to read that to you because I wanted us to start even looking at our own lives. See, you cannot have heaven. You cannot have what you want from God here on this earth as long as you've got hell in your life. As long as you're allowing the enemy to do what he's doing, you can't have what you want here. You can't have heaven and hell at the same time. See, if you want heaven in your life, you've got to get the hell out of it. Right? Come on, I know that. I'm not cussing. I'm telling you, you've got to get the hell out of your life if you want heaven. You've got to get rid of the devil. You've got to put him on the run. You've got to get the ungodliness out. You've got to get the things that are disobedient to the Word of God out of your life if you expect heaven to be operating in your life here on this earth. See, so many times we kind of want to operate about half and half. Come on now. But you see, there's no such thing as half and half. You're either all in or you're all out. And so Hezekiah here realized they were all out. And he said, listen, we've got to get back to worshiping God again. And the way we get back to worshiping God is, number one, start doing what he told us to do. And, of course, under the old law, the Passover was part of what he told them to do. And get ourselves cleaned up so that we can do it. You see, church, when we look at our lives, we have to see where we're allowing things in. Amen. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Now, you know, we could look around and we could probably look at people, look at things, look at situations. We can look and we could blame it on a lot of things. Right? Come on now. Adam told God, he said, that's that woman you gave me. Right? He blamed it on the woman. He goes to the woman. The woman blames it on a snake. But you see, the truth was they did what they did because they decided to do what they did. Now, I grant you, the snake was subtle, the Bible says, and he was a smooth talker. But you should never let somebody that's a smooth talker talk you out of doing what you're supposed to be doing for God. Amen. You shouldn't, you see. And then, because she did that, now notice that the Bible says that when you're reading that account, that the woman took the fruit and tried it and gave it to her husband that was right there with her. Well, you know, apparently Adam wanted to try it too, or he'd have made her stop. Come on. I'll let her do it, and then I'll tell God it was her fault. Come on now. See, we like to blame our problems on somebody else. But you see, the problem was that with Adam, because the Bible says that Eve wasn't the one transgressed, Adam was. Why? Because he was the one set as the head. He was the one that had control over the whole situation, and he allowed it to happen. You are the head over yourself. Nobody can't make you do anything. Amen. You have to make the choice to do it. And a lot of times, you know, people will, they get, you know, all tore up about, you know, well, this one's putting pressure on me, that one's putting pressure on me. Well, most of the time when there's pressure there, it's the devil. Amen. Now, God will unction you to do stuff, but when it's pressurized, you feel like you just have to do this. You see, that's one of the worst things that we have is peer pressure. People are more concerned about how they look in front of other people than they are how they look in front of God. Amen. That's why. Do you realize that this, you wouldn't be room to sit in this house here if people that wanted to come here came here? I know them. I see them. They talk to me. What's our program? And the only reason they're not here is because they're afraid of what their neighbors will say, their friends will say, their brothers and sisters will say. You mean you going up there? They want to come up here. They want what you got. Amen. But because of peer pressure and because of what other people say, they're not here. Well, you see, that's the same thing when it comes to us. We have to be careful that we're not letting what people say influence us from doing what God wants us to do. Amen. They had gotten to the point to where they just wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, and that's how they came up with all the false gods. That's how they ended up with all the images. That's how they ended up staining the house of God with all that junk, is because they've gotten away from the true purpose, which was to just serve God and do what God says. So you've got to get rid of all that hellish stuff. You've got to make up your mind, I'm going straight for God. God only, not looking for anything else. Really, the whole duty of man is to what? Love God, keep His commandments, right? That's the whole duty of man. Love God, keep His commandments. That ought to be first and foremost in our life. And so when we're looking at this, He's making sure He gets things cleaned up. As I thought about this, I started thinking about how the world is desensitized the church. We've gotten to the place that we don't seem to know what's right or what's wrong. Amen. If you talk to probably a big percentage of Christians, they still have the mindset that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Matter of fact, there's churches that ordain people that are homosexuals. Amen. And they don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, apparently our nation is dumb enough to think there's nothing wrong with it. A lot of our leadership, you know. And see, here's the thing. You can't do what's right in your eyes because what? There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but then there are the ways of death. See, we tend to try to look at people, but it's not the people that's the problem. It's the act. It's the act that's a problem, you know. And the reason the church has gotten so desensitized is because it's happened in a lot of church families. And because they love that family member, and they should, but because they love them, then they begin to accept the act. So it's getting quiet. We got to understand, you can't have heaven with hell in your life. Right? If the Bible says it's wrong, then it's wrong, don't matter how much you love the person. And you should love that person, and you shouldn't cast them out. But you should also stand on what the Word says and make sure that you tell them that. I love you, and that's it. I won't accept what you do. I won't tell you that's right. I'm not going to condone that. Amen. See, and you know, people get mad at you. They're going to get mad at you. No, you've got some kind of phobia, you know. They got to come up with something because you've got to be wrong because I'm right. Right? Come on, but you know, it's I'm getting in trouble here, but that's all right. It's kind of the way people are about things they're passionate about. Right? We got veterinarians in here, so I've got to be careful. Okay. But people love their pets. Right? But I've watched as it's gone so far now that, and here's where I get in trouble, is people consider them family to the point that if you don't like my pet, then you don't like me. Don't get mad at me now. It's true, right? It's an animal, but people treat them like humans, right? Come on, now, don't get mad. Hey, listen, I love Lillian's dog. I really do. He is a big dork. Most disobedient dog, and I can't. Lillian told me, she said, when you hurt him, you hurt me. What am I going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. Hit him over the head with a stick when I catch your head turned. Carries trash out of my garage and puts it out there in the yard and chews it up. I'll make her pick it up. Yeah. But you got to realize, you know, that's not a human being. And you shouldn't get mad at somebody else. Pastorette told Tiffany, she said, that is the most disobedient dog I ever saw in my life. You know. And Lillian, you know, she just loves him with all of her heart. And he's bigger than her. And the big thing comes and he jumps on you and knocks you down and, you know, comes up to Lillian and she just kisses him right in the face and just, I mean, he just... And see, some of you laughing. I know you let your dog do that, but you got to realize how his butt gets cleaned. Right? He licks his personal parts and then comes up and licks you in the face, in the lips, in the mouth. So you can get mad at me if you want to, but I got that over you. Right? But people kind of get, I mean, we get carried away with things that we're passionate about. And sometimes we can let things that we're passionate about get in the way of God. We can let, and I'm not saying that you're doing that with the pets, but I'm just saying that's with the homosexuality thing. People, because they love somebody, they tend to accept it. Right? Come on now. Because you love your pet, he sleeps in your bed with you. That animal was never made to do that. Don't get mad at me. It's true. Would you get mad if I got me a horse and brought it in the house and let it sleep in the bedroom with me? You'd think that's stupid, right? Horse belongs outside. Why? It's what I decide, right? See, just because you decide something don't necessarily make it right. You know? And people are deciding things. It's not right. It may be what they want to do, and if that's what they want to do, that's totally up to them. But don't tell me that it's okay. Don't try to get me to tell you that it's all right. Especially when the Word of God's against something. Amen. I'll get off the pets, so you guys won't get mad at me. You love your pets, so that's okay. I mean, I understand how that goes. You do get very attached to them. I actually have cried before when they died. You get that attached to them, right? Come on, you know, it's just the way it is. You spend as much on them as you do on yourself a lot of times for different things, food, you know, medical, whatever. You know, that they kind of become like part of the family, but they're not human beings. Please understand that. Amen. I believe God loves them too. Amen. I'm trying to get myself out of the hole, okay? Doing my best, but I think I just need to move on, don't I? Because it's already too late for me here on this, you know. And then hopefully Lillian won't hear this, but yeah, you know. I told her, I said, let me have the shock collar, baby. I'll take care of it and I'll train him for you. Uh-uh, Papa, you can't have that, you know. I've tried to train him with food, but he just can't ever get enough, you know. We can get him to sit. We can get him to stay, and he won't bite it till you tell him to. He'll give you a paw. You know, and then he'll go in the trash. You know, or into the creek and drag some, you know, and make a mess, or whatever. He does what he wants to do. And that's what people do. They just do what they want to do because they don't know what to do. And the Word tells us what to do. So Hezekiah's getting things straightened up. He's trying to get things back. We have to make sure that we keep ourselves to the place where we're not letting the world influence us and desensitize us to what's right and wrong. Come on now, because the world will tell you all kinds of things. I was watching a commercial with and they don't have to necessarily say things. A lot of times they just insinuate things. I was watching a Häagen-Dazs ice cream commercial the other day. I just saw it the other day. You know, and they were talking about it, and you had a woman on a couch and a woman sitting in the floor beside her in the couch eating ice cream and them smiling at each other. Now, they didn't have to say a word to let me know what they were insinuating. You see, and that's what they try to do. They try to desensitize you to things. It's been happening for a long, long time. And it's just slowly, slowly, slowly until now it's to the point it's just in your face. If you don't like it, then that's your problem. You've got the problem, not me. And see, you'd say, well, you shouldn't have a problem with it. If God's got a problem with it, and you're a child of God, you ought to have a problem with it. No matter what it is. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And so we have to get that stuff out of our life. It's got to go so that we can be where God wants us to be, so that we can the anointing of God can flow through our lives. Look over here in Matthew chapter 6 with me. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is pretty plain about this here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says simply, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." He says, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and the devil at the same time. You're either for God or against God. For the devil or against the devil. And see, that takes in a whole lot of things. What Jesus is saying here, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't. You can't have two masters. Matter of fact, whoever's your master is going to be your supplier. Right? They're the ones going to give you what they got. Well, you know, if God's your master, then He's going to give you what He's got, and it's going to be the good things of the kingdom. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, right? So I'm going to be getting the good things. But if I'm allowing Satan to be my master, now here I am getting all the hell that he's got. You see, so I've got to make sure that I'm serving the right master. We can't have mixed loyalties in this thing. You're either for God or you're against God. Amen. You're either doing what He says or not doing what He says. And you've got to make up your mind. It's a choice that you make. And again, you can blame it on anybody why you're not, but it comes right down. You've got to make up your mind. I'm going to do it no matter what. You remember Job, and with all that he was going through, you know, the person that had to be the closest to him was his wife, right? Come on, your wife ought to be your best friend, right? Come on now. I'm not getting very many amen. Is your wife your best friend or what? Yeah, we may have to do some marriage counseling or something here. I don't know. No, the husband and wife are best friends. Job's best friend comes to him, and knowing what a devout man, knowing what a good man, knowing how much he loved God, watching him worship God, watching him offer up sacrifices to God, knowing how he stands with God, his best friend walks up and says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" How'd you guys like for your wife to come up and tell you that? Well, you see, he could have been influenced by her. She's his best friend. He looks at her and says, "You're talking like a foolish woman now." He stood up and said, "No, you're not going to influence me. It doesn't matter if I die. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to maintain my integrity no matter what." You see, and that's one of the things that's happening in the church, is because the world has no morals and integrity, the church is beginning to slip now and lose morals and integrity. Amen. Come on. You'll have to admit the standards are not the same. We're watching them slowly, slowly, slowly slide to where, you know, people, they just don't care anymore. And it's sad. It's a sad thing for the church to be going to that place. Just because the world thinks it's good and popular don't mean we should. Come on, church. Let's be realistic about some stuff. We see things happening all the time, you know, and people are accepting it, and it's all okay. I remember, you know, when LuLaRoe first started coming out, you know, all that was going on, and people started, they were conflicted. Should this even be wore out in public? See some of you looking at me funny. I had LuLaRoe shirts. Okay. I never did try the tights. But you had a lot of that going on. And see, now we went to the place now to where, you know, things that maybe wore in a yoga class, now they're just everyday clothes. See some of you looking at me funny. And you, if you ever been out anywhere, you know some of that stuff is just way too revealing. Somebody needs to wear a longer shirt or something else, you know, because... Don't get mad at me now. I'm just, see, if you're getting mad at me now, you may have slipped a little bit. Because as a child of God, you and I are not supposed to be wearing that kind of stuff. I know God sees our heart. I understand that. But, you know, if you got it showing, then you probably ain't knowing. It might be a good idea to cover it up. And we laugh because you know I'm telling you the truth. If we really want to be what we're supposed to be, then we need to be looking the part too. And I'm not talking about you have to wear a suit. That's not what I'm talking about. You know that's not what I'm talking about. But you see, this kind of thing is what I'm talking about when I talk about morals, integrity, how it slips. Amen. Just because now the world's went back to, you know, mini dresses and all that stuff. I mean, we went through that back in the 60s and early 70s. That was a trend thing. But you know, it wasn't a trend in the church. What? Come on now. But you see, since it's a trend in the world now, the church thinks it's okay just to wear it on in. You can get mad at me if you want, but the standard is still the standard. It always has been the standard that when they put their arm down, that's where a skirt ought to be. That way you can at least sit down. It got real quiet on me all of a sudden. You know why? Because they're popular and everybody loves them. Again, just because it's popular don't mean it's the right thing. The world comes up with all this stuff, folks, and the church just falls in. I'm not saying, again, somebody needs to wear, the big long dresses and wearing dresses. I mean, God, again, looks at the heart. But men look at the bodies. And if you're wearing things causing people to lust, then you're just as much responsible as they are. You know, and I've heard the argument, well, he ain't got no business. If he's a man of God, he won't do that. If he's a man... Now, you get mad at me about this if you want to. And you women need to pretend that you don't either. Try to make us men look bad. You're guilty too. Why? Because it's presented to you, and if it's in your face, what you do? You know, only thing I know to just be like Mr. Potato Head and go, I'm a married spud. I'm a married spud. I'm a married spud. You know? You got to clean it up, okay? You can't serve two masters. Either you're serving God or you're serving the devil. I'm going to choose to serve God, okay? First John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God. Notice the things that are not of the Father are the lust of the eyes, pride of life, lust of the flesh. That's all stuff that's not of the Father. Amen. Well, if it's not of the Father, who is it of? It's of the devil, right? It's hellish. Again, you've got to get that hell out of there. Now, notice that he that doeth the will of the Father will abide forever. The will of the Father is for us to be like Jesus and do the things that Jesus did. See, Jesus said this, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, this is John 14:12, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. We are the body of Christ. Come on. We're his body. We're ambassadors for Christ. That means we represent him. We do business for Jesus here on this earth. Right? What is the business of Jesus? Well, in 1 John 3:8, it says this, he that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning, for this purpose, now get this, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So if we're ambassadors doing business for Jesus on this earth, then our job should be to destroy the works of the devil. Not participate in them. Come on. Not condone them. But we're to destroy the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? Anything that is disobedient to the Word of God. If it goes against the Word of God, then it is the works of the devil. Now, we got to continue doing that. That means that we've got to come against sin, no matter how popular other people think it is. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, kind of made me a little bit sick. They had preacher's shoes for sale. Yeah. They were high heels. Look like women's shoes, but they were made for men. The world thinks that's fine. And we laugh, but it's sad at the same time. Amen. Literally for sale. Well, you know what that's pushing, and everybody knows that, because that's what's being pushed more than anything in the world right now. Amen. They've dedicated a month to it. Come on, think about it for a minute now. You think it's not slowly decaying? We're getting to that place more and more. They're trying their best to just slide it down. You just take it, because there ain't nothing you can do about it. Yes, you can do something about it. You can stand up and be a child of God. Come on, you don't have to just let it slide. If you don't want to just let it slide, you don't have to. Now, if we're going to destroy the works of the devil, again, it starts with us. Jump over with me to 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says this, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Notice this. It's got to start here in the house of God. If we don't stand up and set a standard, who's going to? Are you going to let your government set the standard? Yeah, they're already setting some pretty good standards. They sure are, but they're not godly standards. I just found out this week that, you know, we were talking about Haiti earlier, but I just found out that there's an initiative for 30,000 of Haitian, Cubans, to be able to come into this country on Biden's ticket. He's got a program. Matter of fact, IMO has lost some employees from Haiti. I don't blame them for coming. And they're bringing them over and setting them up with everything they need to live in the United States. See, we look at that and we're sitting there scratching our head, you know, because my insurance definitely ain't free. We're not getting set up with salaries and that kind of thing, you know. But again, it's the way the world is working now. It seems that everything is against the person that wants to stand up for the Word of God and stand up for their country. And so you and I, we have to understand that we've got to be the ones. It's got to start in the house of God. There was a time when the government was afraid of the church. But see, it's changed now to where the government's trying to tell the church what to do. You sit back and shut up and we'll do what we want to, because they don't want to be told that they're wrong. Come on. They would rather be popular with certain sects and with certain percentages of the population than they would with God. See, they can act like they love God, but the Lord says, you know, there are those that they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. And it's sad that there's a lot of people that way. And the truth is, there's people that are church members that are that way. Today, because of just summertime and pretty weather, there's a lot of folks that didn't come to church today because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. Now, they say they love God, but they're not interested in coming and worshiping Him. Don't get mad at me. It's true. And if we're not careful, all of us can fall into that to some degree. So, you know, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with going vacation and doing things occasionally. I'm just saying we've got to watch our hearts to make sure that don't become easy for us. If you miss church, you ought to miss church. Did you hear what I said? If you miss church, you ought to miss church. You ought not just go on about like it wasn't Sunday. It wasn't Wednesday night. You ought to miss it because you're not there. Because that's what you normally do. Study the Word of God. You'll find out Jesus, as His custom was, went into the synagogue. Paul, as his custom was, went into the synagogue. Peter, as his custom was, he'd go in and preach no matter where he went. He'd find somewhere to go in to church. It's got to start with us. Because it says, if we scarcely be saved, where's the ungodly and the sinner going to end up being? So we have to be careful that we're not, as we do this, looking at others and seeing all their faults and not seeing our own. Right? Jesus says, you know, don't try to get the splinter out of somebody else's eye when you've got a log in yours. Make sure you get the log out of your eye first, and then you can help others. See, what you and I need to do is we need to be getting the hell out of our lives so that we can help people get the hell out of their lives. Because that's what we're really called to do on this earth, as to be disciples, and also to make disciples out of people that don't know Jesus. Making sure that we're telling them about the love of God. If we'll start doing that, then we'll see things happen. So let me just give you something real quick. This is how we destroy the devil in our lives, okay? I'm going to give you three quick things here. Number one, repent. Pretty simple, right? Repent. Now understand, the word repent does not mean I apologize. Repent means to stop what you're doing, turn, and go a different direction. Quit doing what you're doing and go in a different direction. Repentance, number one. Number two is to continue to obey the Word of God. Because you're not going to stay where you need to be without the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that not only does it instruct us, but it convicts us. Right? It's how you know what's wrong. Come on. You know, there's people that would have killed themselves by now if they didn't know they'd go to hell. How do they know they'd go to hell? They know it because the Word says so. Amen. They know what the Word says, so it keeps them from doing that. Well, knowing what the Word says will keep you away from sin. So we repent, we continue to obey the Word of God, and then we start operating in our God-given authority. Number three, operate in this God-given authority. God has given you the ability to take command over your life, and not only your class, your life, but your influence that you have over your family. But you have to choose to stand up. Somebody's got to stand up and say, enough's enough. I'm not going to allow the devil to have my family. I'm not going to let the devil wreak havoc in my life. I'm going to make sure that I stand and be the man or woman of God I'm supposed to be. I'll take authority in the name of Jesus. I'm getting the hell out of my life, and I'm going to let heaven reign in me. And if we do that, church, I'm telling you, you'll start seeing a difference not in your home, but everywhere. The church will see a difference because all of us will be coming in with different attitudes and different feelings and different places of anointings that God can work through to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Look at your neighbor there. Just tell him, say, get the hell out of your life. Amen. I really wanted to title this message that, but I knew if it went out on the internet, people would be trying to... They wouldn't have understood, okay? So now that they've heard my message, they can understand what I'm talking about when I say that. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and praise you and thank you, God. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're what's in our life. Your love, your compassion, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for all of that, Father. Help us, Father, to walk in it, Lord, to give you glory and honor, that when people see us, they'll realize and know that we are an example of a believer. One that, Father, that they can follow us as we follow you. Lord, we want you to be glorified in our lives, in everything we do. And we want you to get glory out of it. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus dying on a cross for us, giving his life so that we could live. Thank you that we have forgiveness of sin through his blood that was shed, and we give you glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're in this place and you need Jesus in your life, if you want to just make him Lord, know that you're on your way to heaven, we want to give you an opportunity to come. Anybody? Say, that's me. I'm not saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you're in this place and you need us to lay hands on you, believe God.